If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Amen. And I do want to reiterate again, I'm so grateful to be here. My family is. I not only honor your pastor and Sister Cowan and Elder and Sister Worth, I want to honor my family as too, the sacrifices they've made. Amen. For the will of God as well. You know, you basically say sometimes, and my pastor's told me, hey, you want to get around people that you want to identify with. And your pastor is one of those that I am grateful to get around with. Whether it's electronically through our phones or whether it's in person, I want him to be able to sharpen me. He's wise. He is anointed. He's got it all. There's some who only can teach. There's some that can only preach. There's some that have fire. There's some who, you know, just has that calmness. But he's one that has it all. You are a truly blessed people. Amen. And I, by the kingdom of God, of course, I call him brother. But most importantly, I'm blessed that I can call him a friend. I choose to call him a friend today. Amen. Amen. If you have the word of God, let me hear you say amen. 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 We're going to start in the very first verse, a very familiar verse. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. That's the only verse I have for you for this beginning text. I want to take from this verse, fill thine horn of oil and go. God's wanting to fill it up and pour it out. That is the title of this text today. Fill it up and pour it out. Amen. We heard it. It's raining. I want to take that rain as a sign of refreshing, a time of just knocking the dust off, if you will, and saying, okay, God, we're ready for you to fill it up and pour it out. Amen. Let's reach our hands toward heaven and ask God to have his way in this house. House, God, but you're not finished here yet, Lord. God, I need your presence, Lord. I need your anointing, God. I want you to speak through this servant today. God, let our hearts and our minds be receptive to your word and your will as we begin to receive from you, Jesus. God, remove obstacles, remove distractions or any hindrance, God, that would bind us or keep us from your word today. Hallelujah. We won't fail to praise you. We won't fail to give you glory and honor you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. And if you're going to help me preach, you may be seated. Fill it up and pour it out. God asked Samuel a very specific question from the very beginning in this verse. How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? But if we look in the previous chapter at the very last verse, it says, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord, hear me, the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Yes, Samuel was hurt. He was offended. The one that he anointed had rejected God, so to speak. He decided to go in his own way. But as I started researching the Word of God, I have seen here that 13 times the Word of God mentions God repenting. God repenting. But only 2 times were because of regret due to anger or disappointment. The first, of course, is where it was in the days of Noah. He repented for creating man and grieved his heart. And, of course, the other is here in this scripture. But what gets to me is that Saul was on the same plane with all of humanity except for one family at one point. To me, that is very scary to see how Saul truly backslid, if you will, against God's will. That he would repent due to the disappointment of not of how God felt, but of what Saul did. I never want to go so far that God was sorry for ever deciding to use me or create me. You know, in the world today where people either don't believe in God or they have no fear of God or fear of hell, we have to be very careful of how we use the Word of God and how we quote scriptures and how we allow God to use us. There's too many people in the world today that will look at this Bible as only a book and can go into a church house for weeks or even months or years, but their Bible begins to collect dust. I don't ever want to get to a place to where I can't commune or won't commune with God. I can't get to a place to where this word is no longer valuable to me, but just an instrument. But I want it hidden in my heart and in my soul. I need to make sure that every single day, God, I can't go one day without speaking with you. I don't want to ever go one day without feeling your presence. I cannot come accustomed to not having God. Amen. But Saul went from being the admired to the despised. He went from the chosen one to the rejected one. As we see here, I believe that the root of all sin is rebellion. If you look at any sin, you'll see it's due to a rebellious heart. But the Bible shows us time and time again that if we choose to be disobedient and we make it about us, that yes, we can be replaceable. But I'm thankful today to know that God, it does not hinder him from finding another source, a heart, if you will, to pour into when others choose to serve themselves. But God gave very little time for Saul to mourn. God had other plans, and we see that as soon as God asked Samuel the question, he then gave instruction. He told him to go to get the horn. Go get it off a shelf. And the way I look at it, and Brother Mark Ward 3:16, God basically was saying, hey, Samuel, I need you to turn your frown upside down. I need you to dry your eyes and let me mend that broken heart. And I want you to recall that horn you used on Samuel. I need you to go get it off a shelf today. I need you to dust it up. Dust it off, and I need you to fill it up with fresh anointing oil, because we're about to go fill it up just so we can pour it out, because I found the one to anoint as king this time. I need you to get to Jesse's house. There's one that is willing to go a distance that others are not willing to go. He's more than just a boy. He is a worshiper. He's more than a boy. He's a musician. He's more than just a child. He's a shepherd. He's a leader. He's a warrior, and he's bold. And I need you to get to Jesse's house. God is wanting to get the attention of some saints today to say, hey, I don't care about your failures. It does not matter where you came from when I came from a manger. I don't care how old or young you are, because age is nothing but a number. I don't care how much money you make or lack thereof. I made you royalty. Mistakes you made in the past, my blood has covered them. And hey, I'm ready to get the horn, fill it up with some anointing oil, and I'm ready to pour it out over some men and women if you'll just accept my call. I want to fill it up and pour it out all over you. He's ready to take the horn today, church. He's ready to fill it up with a fresh anointing, if you will, an oil. He's willing today. Oh, but Brother Ward, I've never been over a ministry. It's okay. That's not what the anointing is about. Oh, but Brother Ward, I don't have right credentials. Oh, it doesn't matter. He still has a horn of oil, if you will, and he's ready to fill it up and pour it out. It's not wasting when you answer the call in the will of God. It's not wasting his time whenever your heart is pure with the right intention to serve and to do his will. Hallelujah. Isaiah tells us, and it shall come to pass in that day, that his burden shall be taken away from off the shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed. You heard your pastor say it. It's not just broken. Broken means it can be repaired, but it's got to be destroyed because of the anointing, the yoke of your burden, the yoke of your will, if you will, it has to be completely destroyed so you can walk in the freedom of God's anointing. That's where you see the right doors opening. That's where you see the spiritual and the supernatural and the relationship with God that closes in and you draw nearer to Him. Some may be thinking in the house, there's no way under heaven or in this place that He's speaking to me, that I'm not qualified, that I'll never be good enough for any mission or any kind of ministry. But God, as you know, does not call you because you're qualified. He calls to qualify you. We've all heard it. You don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. It's not just for the sinner. It's for the saint as well. I know the feeling, church. I know the feeling of not being qualified. I know the feeling of not being good enough for God, that your credentials are not appropriate, that you may not be able to memorize scriptures like others do, that maybe you've never taught a Bible study out of fear of, oh, what if they ask the wrong or the right questions? I'm not distinguished or polished like others, that I'm just little old me. I know that feeling. I understand that feeling that we can hide behind the facade of a suit and a tie and our nice clothes and our nice fellowship. But I'm here to tell you, I'm just little old me. That is what the qualifications that God is looking for. He just needs a little humble you, not big look at what I can say, look at what I can wear, look at who I can be, look at my social status, look at how many friends or followers that I have. But God is wanting humble you to say, hey, I don't care about the followers I have, but God, I need to follow you. I need to follow your word. I need to follow your will, God. I'm not going to mimic what other churches are doing. I need to mimic you. I need to mimic the word. It's what I need in my heart and in my life today. Come on, He takes a little that you have and He pours His anointing all over it to create soul winners, create Bible study teachers, to create missionaries and evangelists and future pastors and assistant pastors. That's what He takes when He pours His anointing out. But young man, hear me today. It can't be about, man, I just want to sing like David Jennings and Mark Crowder and the Brittany Scotts. And, oh, I want to be able to preach like the Matthew Tuttles and Cody Marks and Colton Carrolls. No. Can I tell you, He's not a cookie cutter in the anointing business? He doesn't say, okay, pastors, click. Here you go. There's your pastor card. There's your anointing. You've got the right clothing now. You've got the right attitude. You've got the, and I keep coming back to it, but I'm telling you, it's getting worse and worse in our society. It's not about your social status. It's not about social media today. You've got to, I learned that the hard way. You're not successful bound by how many people are following and like your and then comment on your little pictures and what they say. But the anointing is what makes the difference. It's the anointing that changes things. It's the anointing that helps break and destroy the yoke beyond recognition so you can take on others. But your goal cannot be like to be like others. It can't be about the venues that you want to be able to be used at and sing at and preach at and be able to perform and play at. And it can't be, hear me, this is the most important part. It can't be about the income. Am I right about that? It can't be about the income. You know what it has to be about? The outcome. It has to be about the outcome of a soul coming back to God. It has to be about the outcome of breakthrough. It has to be about the outcome of God's glory. It has to be the outcome to let Him have His way in this place today. It has to be the outcome of God. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me without putting any terms or conditions that would apply of how to use me. God, if it's having to cut the grass, I'll cut the grass. I'll mow the lawns. Lord, if it's cleaning bathrooms, bathrooms and scrubbing toilets. God, as long as there's anointing on me when I do it. Come on, anointing isn't just about the ministry. Anointing isn't just about behind a pulpit or behind a set of drums. Anointing goes so much further. It goes so much further than that. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Not just behind a pulpit, but get out beyond the four doors. Let people see the love of God all over you. Let them see the anointing that's been poured all over you. That when you're mowing yards, you better hear it. When you're mowing yards, or whether you're giving counsel to some people, Brother Cowan, they feel the anointing all over you. Oh, there's something different about this therapist. There's something different about this counselor. There's some peace that it's just oozing all over. Why is it every time I walk in your office, I can feel something different? Why is it when I come in here, my anxiety has to leave, but when I get so far away from you, it comes back? Why is that? It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's God's presence all over him. The anointing matters in our lives, church. It matters. We've got to have the anointing. We need to say every day when we wake up, God, take the horn, fill it up, pour it out all over me, Lord. Oh, I may feel insignificant. I may feel like I'm a no one, but God, I'm not about that. I'm about the anointing. I'm about the anointing. It's what I need. It's what I crave, Lord. Destroy anything that would stop the flow of the anointing on my life, God. There are too many preachers. Too many that are bringing fluff and hype. They're bringing the bone and no meat on the bone. They're asking you to take a hold of something hard that creates no substance and asking you to chew on it so they can feel pleased when you shout or stand up and say amen. Can I be honest with you? Whether you stand up or clap, whether you confirm the word or not, and I'm glad you are. I'm glad you're a church that gets behind the word of God. Not just behind a preacher, but the word of God. I'm still going to preach it the same way. I don't care if there's five of you or 5,000 of you. It does not matter to me. I've got to preach it the way God has given it to me every single time. I told you from the very beginning when I came here, if you're looking for a distinguished preacher, you've got the wrong one. I am just a simple person from a simple background, no royal lineage other than what has been applied by the blood of God on my life, and I have to do his will in his way. Yes, I may not be like them and have these $300 words that they're able to use. It's just little old me. But that's who I am, and that's who God created me to be. And I've learned that I get more results for God, and he uses me more when I just become me and not try to be like others, young men. You can't be like others. You be who God created you to be. And I promise you the results that God wants to get through you, you'll get so much farther if you just be you. Just be you. But I promise you, every time I get behind a pulpit, I say, God, I could not hand them a bone. And if it's going to be just me, that's all they're going to get. Maybe they'll get a little cartilage on it, or maybe they'll just strands of dried meat. But God, I cannot allow them to break their teeth on the bone of what I have to preach. But if your anointing's on me, God, I know that they can get full on your word. I don't care how it sounds this morning. I need you to understand that I care more about what he cares about than what your thoughts are. I've got to obey God and just preach it the best way I know how when it comes to the anointing. We've got to crave the anointing, young men and young women. We've got to crave it. We got to ask God, oh God, I'm here to tell you today, oh, when you fill it up and if you pour it out, Lord, it will not be wasting. You will not waste it on me. I'll do it in your way, God. Oh, destroy the yoke that is on me. Let it be destroyed so I can take your yoke on, Lord. Let me take on the yoke of the anointing. But God said to Jesse, or to Samuel, go to Jesse's, for I have provided me a king. He was saying, I've provided the anointed one. I have provided. I truly believe that there are prayers that your pastor has prayed. God, send ones that will step up with humility. God, let there be ones in the house that will do things your way, the anointed way. Oh, that won't add terms and conditions on how to be used. God has provided that answer today. And it's everyone in this house. It has to be you that answers the call today. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. All God is asking is, will you be willing to answer the call? Amen. But Samuel shows up to Jesse's. 16:6, it says, and it came to pass that when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Surely this has to be the one. Surely this is the next king. Why? Why would he assume immediately that Eliab would be the one? Is it because he wanted to be done and over with that quickly? Could it be that God led him into the house and God wouldn't just let us go through a process? Has any of us ever had to go through a process before? Oh, he looked the part. Surely it's got to be. Brother Marcus, come up here, bro. Surely this has got to be the one. Dress sharp. Man, looking good. Got the right tie on. Got the right shoes on. Hair, $100 haircut. Surely this is the one. Stay right there. Surely. But the word tells us something else, that as soon as Samuel said, surely this must be the one. What does the word of God said? It says in 7 that, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or nor on his height or his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as the man seeth. For the Lord looketh on the outward appearance, or man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the inward, the heart. So not saying that good old Marcus has got a bad heart. That's not what we're saying here. But hell, that can't be the one. Well, who else you got, Jesse? So we get another one to come up. God said, right over here. He's got the right suit on. Oh, he hits the right chords. Can't be it. So another one comes. Then another one comes. And another one comes, and here they come. Come on up. No, you wait. I got plans for you. You hold on. Come on up there, son. And here they come. They got these nice men of great stature. Go to the back for me. Samuel's like, well, here we are. We're in the tent. Here's the six great-looking young men, great sons of Jesse. Oh, man, you're telling me that these are not it. Jesse, I got to tell you, God brought me here for a reason. I know that. He brought me here. And if these aren't it, these nice men that hold stature, that holds the strong name really well in the house of Jesse, you can tell that whenever they're out amongst the crowds, that this has got to be the ones. It's got to be the ones. Hallelujah. Hey, do you got any more sons, Jesse? Is there any more that's in the house? Well, Samuel, no. There's none in the house. But there's one. There's one in the field that's tending my sheep. Oh, there's one that's doing what needs to be done. There's one that doesn't have the nice robes on, not the nice tie. He's not maybe distinguished, and he's a little ruddy in the face, a little red from the sunburn, from out in the field, out in the world. Hear me today, out in the world, elder, that's helping the sheep, tending them, trying to keep them safe. Well, go get them. Go get them. So David, this young boy, young man, comes in not looking like his brothers. His hair may be tossed a little bit. His shirt may be untucked. But he's in a field. He's in a field. Father, you need someone to tend your sheep. I'll go tend your sheep. Father, they're older. I'm the youngest. I'll accept that. I'll do the hard work. I'll do the dirty work today. Sheep don't smell good. You ever have mutton? It's disgusting. But I'll get around your sheep. I'll get around the smelly ones. I'll keep them safe. And while I'm there, I'll show them the example of my heart. I'll sing songs about you out in the field around your sheep that are dirty. I'll sing songs around your ones that aren't clean, that may stray away sometimes, but I'll come back to them. Hear what I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost today. Stand in front of these young men. Hear what I'm telling you. We got to realize this story is more than just a young boy coming in and God saying, that's the one. But why was he the one? Because he was willing to do what maybe the others weren't willing to do. He had a heart to please his father. God is looking for some people who say, hey, I may not be distinguished, God. Oh, I may not have the right tie on. I may not have the right suit or the right shoes that others may look at. But God, if you're wanting me to go in the field, if you're needing someone to go do the dirty work, if you're needing someone to say, hey, I want to invite you to church, let me be anointed to do so. Come on, it's whenever we make it about God and not ourselves. When we can make it about God, man, and not ourselves. When we don't come to church for a routine and say, God, whoever walks in these doors, let them feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Let them feel your presence, God. Oh, and use me, Lord, if you choose to. You can put that anointing all over me. You can speak to me, Lord, so I can lay a hand on them. And Lord, you use me, use my mouth as an instrument for encouragement and salvation. God's looking for the ones who are out in the field today, who are out there trying to tend sheep, who have a purpose, not an agenda. You keep hearing that from me, but God keeps saying it for a reason. There's a purpose. We were out yesterday hanging door handles. Come on, we didn't just go out there to say, hey, we've done it. Hey, there's a check mark that we placed off. No, it's more than that. It's praying over those door hangers and saying, God, if I don't get in front of the person, Lord, put this on a door where someone's hurting. Put this on a door of someone who's ready to take their life. Put this on a door and let them see the phone number on it, God, that they'll call or they'll see an address and they'll come and there's something missing in their life. There's a void that needs to be filled. Lord, send me. Send me to that door or send me to that person as I'm walking up to that door. Give me boldness, Lord, and let your love shine through me to where I can look at them and I can pray for them and say, hey, I don't know if you're going through anything or not, but I've got to be transparent. Before I ever came on this street, I was praying at my church that God put me in front of somebody. Put me in front of somebody that I can give an encouraging word to. This isn't even in my notes. But you know where a lot of churches fail, Pastor? I really believe this. You know where churches fail when it comes to invitation? Obligation. And a goal of filling the pews with numbers and not souls. I'm just being real with you. I'm not saying this is this church. I'm just saying I've noticed that. I've heard by the way they speak about, hey, we want to get 500. It wasn't, hey, God put 500 on my heart. It was, I want to get 500. I don't care about the 500 because if it's not with a purpose and not being kingdom-minded, it's going to fall anyway. It's going to crumble. But God, I'll take the one whose life will be changed forever that your anointing can flow on, that will go out of these doors and bring more in. I want the one that gets on fire for you that says, Pastor, teach me how to teach Bible studies. Will you come with me to teach a Bible study so I can be better? Hey, Pastor, what does this word mean right here? I'm not too proud to ask questions to ask you what this verse means. I need to know what it means. I want revelation. Hey, Pastor, what you preached today, you said this. What does that mean and how can I apply it in my life? That's where the hunger for the anointing starts flowing too. That's where the relationship to where we get so burdened for our city and so burdened for lost souls that we want to be like David. Not because he danced, but because he had a heart. A heart like a man after God's own heart. Think about that. And it, you know what it was? I'm telling you, God showed it to me. He revealed it to me. It's the sheep. It's because he cared about those sheep. God wants you to care about those sheep out there. He wants you to care about those sheep in Augusta. He wants you to care about them, those smelly, nasty sheep. Well, Brother Ward, y'all may be seated. Brother Ward, you don't understand. They're going to come in here. They're going to smell like cigarettes. They're going to smell like crystal meth. They're going to have stains all over them. That's what revival looks like. That's what it smells like. When a life that comes in that doesn't live for the Father, for the one true living God, can walk in and get revelation and get it into his heart, and God pours something out all over him that he's never received before, and it changes the inside to reflect then on the outside. That's revival. Don't put me in the nice neighborhoods, Pastor. Don't put me in the places of the $400,000 and $500,000 houses. Put me in the trailer parks. Put me in the ghetto. Put me where the crackheads are. Put me in the place where I'm used to. I want to get around those where, hey, God, people can look at them and say, if it wasn't for God, it had to be God. There has to be a God that changed that man. There, I knew him in this place. I knew that man. Think about it. That's revival. When God showed up and a man possessed with demons, potentially well over 3,000. Screaming at night, cutting his skin, cutting all over him. That's demonic, by the way. The word even shows it. That's demonic. Don't fall in that trap. But what did he do? What did the man do when he saw Jesus? What did he do? He ran to him. He ran and he fell down at his feet. Well, some can say, well, that was just the demonic in him. No, hear me. I'm here to tell you that if a man who was cutting himself and that was possessed with devils inside him, and he was able to break chains. How many in here can break chains? I can't. Can you break chains with your bare hands? Well, this guy could, because of what was inside him. If those devils couldn't keep him from getting to God and getting his salvation and getting an anointing on it, what's stopping you today? What's stopping you from getting what you need from the Lord today? What's stopping me from getting what I need from God today? I'm preaching to myself too. What's stopping us from getting what God wants to give us today? There's only one thing stopping us, and it's us. Hell can't stop you. Hell has no power over you other than what you allow to give him. I'm here to tell you. But what happened after that? He asked Jesus, let me come with you. Let me show these people the scars. Let me show them I was the one and I'm in my right mind. Let me go with you. Jesus said, nope. I've got other plans for you.
need you to go to Decapolis. And I believe, if correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, but I believe that it's a city among cities. It reminds me of Tulsa. You've got one big city, and there's 10 other cities around it. It was a big place. And in so many words, God said, okay, here's what I need you to do. We're about to put you in front of a whole lot of people, and you're going to let them see by the example. And that's what God needs from us. He needs us to get into the world around those sheep, since we have that anointing, and we got to start bringing them in. We got to bring them in, because once they come in here and they tap into what God's trying to give them, they're going to walk back out there and they're going to bring even more in, because they're going to look and say, my Lord, was this the one that was out of his mind? Was this the one that was bound by alcohol and drugs? Oh, and he's going to say, I was, but I went into a place. I went into a church. Oh, let me show you where it's at. And I got down on my knees. And in that moment, I said, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. And God said, okay, now I can use you. Now I'm going to pour that oil all out, all over you today. And God wants to pour some oil out on some young men to say, you are soul winners. You can make the difference. You can add souls to the kingdom of God. You don't have to have a document saying that you are a master in theology to do so, but if you would just hit your knees a little bit harder, if you would dive into this word a little bit longer and have a heart that says, okay, God, send me out among the sheep. Let me get to them. Let me get to them. We have no excuse why we can't today. Well, Brother Cowan, Pastor Cowan, I want to go on outreach, but I got to work. Hey, what day do you have off? On your way to work, do you have anything with you? To where if you stop by a grocery store, you can hand something to someone maybe? I'm talking to myself. Talking to myself here. But how many times have we limited what God can do because of a time? God is not held by time. It doesn't matter if it's 1 minute or 10 minutes you're talking to those people. I ran into a young man yesterday. He was working on his car. And God answered the prayer. I said, God, you put me in front of him. I'll talk to him. I don't know what good I can do, but I know what good you can do. Just started talking with him. He thought I was someone else. I said, no, I'm not from here. I said, I'm here visiting. And while I'm visiting, I have a friend that's a pastor of a church. You should come. You should come. I'm telling him I was preaching. It's not about me. Hey, you should come. Come. Oh, they love people. Let me tell you the most powerful tool this church has. And it's not even a lie. This is a church of miracles. This really, that should have you shouting by itself alone. This is a church of miracles. God has performed miracles in this church. This is a church that has the anthem of look what the Lord is doing, not what he's done in the past. This is what he's doing. He is healing my body. He is touching people's minds. He's saving us just in time. You don't have to live in the past tense or crave for it. This church has it. It has it. God has given it to. He's poured it out all over this church. The testimonies that I've heard. And this is not Brother Ward getting on to anyone. Please don't take it that way. But God is asking this question. How many out there have you told? How many of your family have you said, hey, I know you said you weren't going to church, but I've got to share this with someone. You're not going to believe what happened for a brother and his family. You're not going to believe how they said, only one's going to survive. And they're both here. Oh, they're both going to survive, but they're going to be sickly. Oh, no. They're a living miracle. It's not the doctor. You better don't believe that lie from hell. It's God every step of the way. Every strategic and specific healing in those babies. It's a miracle. From where the doctor was, from where they choose to go to, the three options. Three? Two options, Missouri and Texas? Is Missouri closer? Huh. Don't tell me our God is not specific in the miracle. He's specific in the miracle. He's specific. There's miracles, and it's not just them. I've heard of other miracles. Shoulders not being as bad as they need to be. I've heard of the miracles. It's not just healings. We got to get past this place of just healings. Come on, that's diluting God's glory. It's not just a healing. It's a miracle. Just because it's just not instantaneous, it's still God's blessing. It's still his miracle. God, you heal me. Thank you for the miracle, God. Thank you for it. There's power in what you say. There's power. There's power. But God's looking for a willing vessel that'll say, God, use me. I may not be able to get behind a pulpit and preach, but God, I still crave the anointing on my life. Anointing is appointed. You're appointed. Am I right about that, Pastor? You're appointed. Well, the Bible says that we were all appointed. We're all appointed. What's done in secret, not in the spotlight. There's some of you who have sacrificed things that no one here doesn't even know about. There's some of you who have prayed in a closet for so long and so hard with the right spirit that none of us know about. And I promise you, you're going to be blessed far beyond doing that than what I could be doing back here. I believe that. You gotta want that anointing on you. It's not about the title or the status. It's just God, use me. God, use me. If it's cleaning a sanctuary, use me. God, if it's talking to my neighbors, use me. God, if it's talking to people I work with to bring them into you, use me, God. Use me, God. Use me, God. There are too many souls out there. Come on, how many times have you prayed for a family member that lives across state or in a different state somewhere, maybe even across the country, or it could be even across the world? God, dispatch angels, send someone to speak to them. Do you not think there are people in Augusta, that there are people other places that are praying for them? God, would you please just send someone to my baby? Would you send someone, an anointed person, anointed man, or an anointed woman of God that would show your love, that would compel them to come into your house, compel them to turn from their wicked ways. Send me, God. Send me. So Samuel took the horn, took the oil, and he anointed David because of the heart. It's time, church, that we start tearing up that spiritual resume that we feel that hell has convinced us we have to fill out, to just do something as simple as testify the goodness of God. And I hope I'm not wrong here. Please correct me if I am. Rebuke me if you have to. God never called you to invite someone to church. Oh, there went some walls right there. I felt it. I've got an explanation, I promise. I'm not going to walk away from this. Can I use you for a minute, brother? Come here for a minute. It's not, hey. Praise the Lord. My name is Mark Ward. I don't know if you go to church or not, but I just want to invite you to our church. That's the most cop-out way to invite someone to church. I'm just being honest with you. It's easy. It's comfortable. Am I wrong? It's comfortable to say, hey, go to New Life. I'd love you to come. We'd love to have you. But testifying of his goodness. See, we're trying to sell something that's free. We don't have to sell the anointing and deliverance. We don't have to sell salvation. It's free. It's a gift, right? It's a gift. But it's saying, hey, I don't know. I just felt compelled to come talk to you for a minute. I just want to tell you, my name's Mark. What's your name? Garrett. Man, those are some sharp shoes you got there. Where'd you get those shoes? Talk to them. Get to know them. God's love is not an agenda to get someone into the four walls. Now, in the four walls, the word comes forth. Yes, they need to be here. Understand me. I'm not saying that the church is evil. But what I'm saying is we go in with an agenda of, man, I want to invite somebody. I want them to say, yeah, and invite them. So I can, hey, Pastor, guess what? That person there, I invited them. I did that. No. But when you have a purpose in your heart to say, okay, God, I'm going to throw seed everywhere. I want to get this seed out so something's going to grow somewhere. And you can come up to them and you start getting to know them and you build a relationship just the same way you do with our God. Talking with them. Come on, we're not selling anything. Just want to talk to you. Show the love of God. Hey, man, just how you doing? Great. He's like, look, I have to be honest with you. Something drew me over here to you through our conversation, and I didn't want to stop our conversation, but I just wanted you to know that I don't know if you're going through anything, but God loves you. And you may go to a church somewhere, you may not, but I want to tell you what's going on at my church. And this is what's been going on. And there's some churches that'll never see anything like this, but we have seen where people are being healed. We're seeing people being delivered from things that's been keeping them bound for years. We are watching, we're literally watching, even from the physical being changed. And that's what God's word wanted from us. And I just wanted you to know, if you need anything from God, it's free. And I want you to know you're more than welcome to be here with me. Here's my number. You don't have to give a number. Some people do if you feel it in the spirit. But here's a card. If you ever want to come, know you are welcome. And I'll sit with you. I'll be right there with you. And if you or your family need anything, you're not going to be judged here. You're not going to have condemnation here. Or people going to look down. You come however you want. We just want you to experience what's going on. It's powerful. It will change your life. That is showing love. That is taking time with that person. And there's times for where we have to put hangers out. I get that, because those are effective too. But what happens whenever you're at that gas station and someone approaches you and talks to you? I can't even count how many times it's happened. And here's the sad part. I'll be real with you. I can recall times where I was like, my Lord, I should have said something to them. Why didn't I? God, forgive me. Please give me another chance with them, or send someone else to them. Please. Spiritual warfare. That's what we're dealing with. We have to stay sensitive every time we are in this world. Not just to combat things, but to draw to those who need God. Well, I work 12 hours a day. I don't go to school. I don't do this. We can find every excuse under the sun, but you have to go out and get groceries. I guarantee you go out and get gasoline for your vehicles. There's opportunities you're going to have to talk to people. And what I'm trying to challenge you with is God's wanting you to see, hey, there's more to it. What's that definition of insanity? If you keep doing the same thing over again and you're getting the same results. I believe the spiritual can be that way too. I do. Now, hear me now. What we don't need to do is start bringing fog machines in here and smoke machines and lasers and all these colored lights. No. We are not to conform like the world. But what I am saying is, God, can you show me another way? Can you pour an anointing on me and let me stay sensitive to the Holy Ghost, that when I walk out that door, I'm gonna make an impression on someone? And better yet, God, you're going to shine through me to make an impression to where I don't have to work for it, God. As long as I'm willing to go out there, you will have them come to me. You'll bring the sheep to me, because they're going to see I'm a shepherd. They're going to see I'm here to protect. I'm here to keep them safe. I'm not here to hurt them. He'll do it. This isn't even in my notes. I've gone way off my notes here. But I'm here to tell you, God's called us. I tell people all the time, Brother Ward, what's the most effective way for revival? in your opinion, the most effective way for outreach? Two things. That wasn't for dramatic effect. I was really thirsty. Two things. I told him, I said, God has not called us to do these things. He's not called you to shear sheep, and he's not called you to eat the fish. Be fishers of men. If you love me, you will feed my. He wants you to feed them. How do you feed them? Show them love. You love them. You love them. You don't condemn them. You don't shear them. You don't bring them in. And as soon as they get the Holy Ghost, start telling them everything in their life they're doing wrong. You let Pastor handle that. You let Sister Cowan handle that. Most importantly, you let God handle that. But you love them by catching them. You cast that net out. You draw them in. You don't scale them. You don't gut them. You don't cut their heads off. You let them come to an altar of realization. You let the pastor read a word to them and let them realize, hey, there's something different about this church. They truly love me. They're not just here for to get my money, or they're not here for an agenda to fill this whole place because it's a goal for them. No, they love God's people. He wants you to love his people today. Can we just lift our hands for a moment? Hallelujah. Musicians, come. Let's give them hope. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, and I'm almost done, I promise. I've gone so far off my notes. I want to tell you a story, though, of the first time God literally showed me. It was like a vision. I've never seen anything like it, Pastor. But as a worship leader on a Wednesday night, the key there at our church, the worship leader sits with the pastor. So I was sitting down, and he had a young man, young teenager. I think he was about 17 at the time, 16, 17, and he had him come preach a little sermonette. And as he stood up at the pulpit, and I'm sitting here, he opened his Bible, and he paused. Long pause. And he was nervous, but he let out, he breathed in really deep, and I thought it was nerves. And God whispered, he said, watch this. God spoke to me and said, watch this. To tell me, watch what I'm about to do. And as this young man talked, I literally watched an anointing oil. It was like a horn above, and it was cracked, and it was dripping. Drip, drip. And I was just like, whoa, what is this? And as he started to just weep, I mean, the Holy Ghost hit. He just started to weep. And all of a sudden, the horn broke in oil. It was like a flood, and it came up all the way to here. It just splashed up, and I jerked a little bit. And all of a sudden, when it hit me, I started weeping and started speaking in tongues. And just, I mean, I couldn't contain it. And I'm just back and forth. And the next thing you know, I watched this oil pour off the platform into the audience. And it was like a domino effect. And as soon as it would hit, people would just start weeping and just feeling the Holy Ghost and just feeling the power of God hit. And it was just amazing. So I went to this young man. His name is Tegan. I went to him. I said, Tegan, I said, what did you feel? I don't want to tell him what I seen. I wanted him to tell me. I said, what did you feel? He said, Brother Ward, when I got up there to speak, I thought I had it all. He said, and then all of a sudden, it was just, I just felt God hugging me. It was like he was holding me. And it was just so, nothing like I've never felt before. And he said, I just started crying. And the next thing you know, I felt this wave of something. He said, all I can say is spiritual just fall all over me. And it was, he used these words, dripping all over me. And I smiled. I said, yeah. I talked to his father. He spent hours upon hours upon hours upon hours praying, getting up in the middle of the night praying, reading his Bible, asking his dad. He worked for his father at 16, 17 years old for a manufacturing welding. His father owned his own manufacturing plant. Dad, can I just take off? I've got to pray. I've got to pray for 10 minutes. His dad told me, yeah, he felt it. And I said, you know why? He said, why? I said, because God was trying to demonstrate to this church that he doesn't care that the young man is only 16 or 17 years old, that he can use anybody. But most importantly, it does not matter that he's autistic with Asperger's and is sociably awkward, because whenever I'm in the mix, I'm going to communicate better than he ever could through him. And that's exactly what it was, the anointing that he craved and that he kept praying for. But hear me, when ministry becomes performance, then the sanctuary becomes a theater and the congregation becomes an audience and worship becomes entertainment and man's applause becomes the approval, and that becomes the measure of success. I don't care that I don't have you shouting all over the place today, because that would be my success. That's oh, look what I can do. I can get them jumping up, hopping. I can hype them up, give you some fluff. No. God has been doing this. Hey, look back over here. I want to show you. I don't need elegant. I don't need you to sing like an angel. Young man, I'm not asking you to preach conferences, but I'm asking you, will you be like David? I want to pour my anointing over you, but will you tend my sheep? Will you recognize that there's some people hurting out there? So many people, the biggest lie is that nobody wants anything. They don't want it. They don't care for it. It's a lie. There's hurting mothers out there that are single, that are trying to find peace. There are children out there that are hurting and don't even realize it, that are looking for something new and refreshing. God is looking to pour out his love in Augusta. He's looking for it to go past Augusta into the surrounding areas of Andover, even into Wichita. I believe that. You have the Church of Miracles. But now, will you be a church with an anointing that will go out and entice the sheep and help herd them in? Amen. Let's all stand. One last thing and I'm done. I want you to understand that I'm not saying you're not doing anything. You are. You truly are. But what I believe God is showing you, or trying to show some people today, is this. I want to show you another way. A way of love. It's a way of reaching. I've seen it work. We have literally watched a church go from a tiny storefront to 16,000 square feet and not even pay a penny for it. A penny. And I told the man of God, I said, the reason this has happened is because you decided to take the limitations on how you will allow God to love his people. You took that limitation off of him and said, I'll love him however you want me to. I've watched him. I went with him to a church, a non-denominational church that he prayed for and said, God, you're going to give me this church. He built relationships with that pastor, not because he was trying to take the church, because he was trying to save his soul. And he became friends with him and started loving them. And now those people are starting to come to his church, one by one, getting revelation of God. And it wasn't because they sat there and said, you're going to go to hell because what you believe is wrong. Mm-mm. He just loved them and loved them. Would start preaching truth as they came. What are you talking about, baptism in the name of Jesus? I thought you could be baptized anyway. Oh, well, I can show you what the Bible says about that. I'm glad you asked. Can you come over from my house? Not right there. You want to come eat at our house with us, with the family? Let me show you some things. It was love. It was all in love. When you do everything in love for God's sheep. Pastor and I talked about it. You know, I truly believe the reason why we see miracles in churches that don't have truth is because the people, God still loves them. And they still love Him. Those who love and show that, God's going to honor that. He's going to honor their faith. It doesn't say, as long as you have the Holy Ghost, then I'll do something for you. No, we got to love. Hallelujah. I'm opening this altar this morning to those who are saying, God, I want to be used by you. I want your anointing, God. I want to be able to love your sheep. I want to be able, God, to have a sensitivity to my city. God, I need a sensitivity to my grocery stores. I want a sensitivity to my gas stations. I want a sensitivity in my workplace. I want a sensitivity, God, in my family. How do I love them effectively, God? God, I know it may not be overnight. God, I know it may not be instantaneous, but God, whatever it takes to grow a relationship, to let your love shine through this thing. But I just want to love your sheep with no agenda. God, I want to love your sheep with a purpose that you get the glory. Lord, that you get the honor for it. I don't need a reward for loving your people, God. Just show me how you want me to do it. Just show me how to love them, God, appropriately. Give me a boldness within me, Lord. Give me the courage to go and speak to them. And I promise, Lord, that once you do, I will not hold nothing back. Hallelujah. Let's reach out to the Lord. Hallelujah.